Hi, everybody. This is Pam, and you're listening to the podcast Women Who Stutter Our Stories, which can be found on the blog Make Room for the Stuttering at stutterrockstar.com, and it's also freely available as a download on iTunes. Today, as always, I have the opportunity and privilege to speak to yet another amazing woman who's going to share parts of her story. So I want to say hello to Margaret. Hey, Margaret, how are you today?
Hi, I'm great. Thanks, Pam.
I'm excited to have you on the show with us.
Thank you. Yeah, I am too. I'm excited.
Oh, great, great. So to get us started, could you formally introduce yourself? Tell us who you are and where you're from and what you do to stay busy.
My name is Margaret. I am a senior at the University of Northern Colorado. I'm majoring in theatrical design and technology with an emphasis in stage management. And I'm graduating in May, so I'm just trying to apply for jobs and not in fail school.
Yeah, wow, exciting. Well, pre-congratulations, because May will be right around the corner.
It will be.
Yeah, yeah. How did you get involved in theater?
It started back in the ninth grade. I think I was a cellist for a long time. So I played in the pit for our show, Into a Woods. And our theater director was playing in our pit at that point. And so we kind of formed a bond. And then when he became our new theater director, he needed someone to help him out, and so he knew me from playing in the pit, and so I started to help him out. I was brand new, but I loved it, and here I am.
So what exactly is it that you do? I love going to the theater and watching performances, but I really don't know too much about behind the scenes.
Yeah, there's a lot. So my program, what we do is we come in and we get a general not knowledge of everything. So we do a bit of props, we do a bit of lighting, we do a bit of sound, and then we pick an emphasis. So as a stage manager, it's hard to explain, but I essentially am this central point of communication for the production team of a show. So I send out notes each night. I take down the blocking notes. I basically track the whole show into a book, and then when we get into shows, I call cues and I kind of run the show at that point. So
it's
hard explain all of what we do, but that's a small list of things.
So, like, there's a director for the show, for the actors and actresses, and then there's a director for the actual stage management and for the behind the scenes. So, like, you kind of run the show?
I do, yeah, in a sense.
Yeah. Oh, wow. That's pretty cool. That's obviously an integral part of any theatrical performance. If the behind the scenes stuff doesn't work, then of course everything else doesn't pull together. So it sounds like you have one of the most important jobs in theater.
That's what we think. So it's hard, but yeah, we have to know a bit of everything, which is, I think, what's hardest about it is we have to kind of know a little bit of each thing so we can combine it all into one show, if that makes sense.
It does. It does make sense. And because I enjoy going to the theater and I go a lot, I have an appreciation for the stage and what the behind the scenes people do to make use of such small spaces sometimes to really be able to create that artistry that the actors need in order to perform and create a scene. So I really think that what you guys do is such an important part of theater as a whole. And I hope that you find a job with a good theater company. Is that what you're going to be looking for?
I'm starting to search now. There's a lot of routes I could take. I can stay in the live theater route that I'm in now, but our job and our program here will train us for. I mean, I could go into film. I could go into dance. I could go into concerts and things like that. So I'm not exactly sure what the right path is, but I'll be trying to search and apply for the best one. So,
Yeah. What's your dream job?
oh geez, I don't know. I think I love film, and the more I've searched into it, I think working in film would be great. What film does is what my job in film, if I went into it, would be a first assistant or director, and then I would move up to a unit production manager. So, and what film does, what's very, very cool is they move around. So a director, like a very well-known one, will have the same team go around to all of the films that he does. And I think I'd love that because, you form a tight-knit group of people that you trust, and you will always find work because, you go along with them. So but if I stay more in the traditional route, I mean, I'd love to go to New York or Boston, out east somewhere, and hopefully work in one place and kind of do their shows for a season. So there's a lot of different things I need to think about, but.
One of the things that I'm thinking about as I'm listening to you is wondering how does stuttering impact what you're doing?
It does. I think the biggest thing, what I need to keep in mind is that how fluent you are does not mean you can communicate less. And communication is a big part of my job. But the only thing it really kind of affects is when I call shows and how I call. When you're on comm, you have a whole crew on comm as well, and so it's my job to be very clear to them what cue I'm trying to call, and it's very important that, because when you're on comm, there's a show in progress, so it has to be like a science as to what's being said and when and why and how. But what I've realized is that when I've never had a problem with those cues, because if, you know, I love it, it's my job, and it seems like when I have a job to do, I have a job to do. So, it's never really been a problem. And if it is, and if there's a word or a name that I can't say, I make sure to change it. But the word I change it to, or how I change it, is consistent throughout the show. So the board, you know, what I mean by that. But it's hard, because awking is a big part of what I do. I love it, and it's my life. So it's not going to stop me.
Well, that's good. That's good, and I'm glad that you mentioned that communication and fluency are completely two different things, that we don't have to be, you know, perfectly fluent in order to be great communicators. And I think a lot of people who stutter sometimes get caught up in that, thinking that because they stutter, they can't possibly have a job that requires a lot of communication. So I'm really glad to hear that you're following your heart, and still doing what you want to do because you really love it. So that's great. That's great to hear.
I'm glad. That's good.
Yeah. Does everybody that you work with know that you stutter?
They do. What we do is, at the end of each year, we do these things called assessments. And it's essentially, we go into our full staff and faculty in our program, and we talk to them about how we did and what we need to improve on. I think it was about a year ago now, we have to write like a letter each time, just, and we have a new prompt each year. And in one of them, I mentioned my speech, and how I don't think it's, you know, up until then I was kind of worried that it was going to get in the way of what I wanted to do, and it was going to be a problem in this field. But I wrote to them that it's not, and it hasn't been a problem yet, and it won't be. And a lot of them were like, I didn't even know that you did. So a lot of them had no clue until I told them. But now that they do, they do. And it's not really a problem. No one really talks about it, which is good. But it was good to hear that they didn't know about it. Mm-hmm. Because I was just, you know, I'm confident in my work, and I always have been. So I think they just kind of thought it was just a weird inflection, or just kind of the way I spoke. So that was good to hear.
Mm-hmm. Oh, good, good. And what was it like for you growing up and in school?
In school, my speech in school, it was hard, but it's hard for all of us. And I think the biggest thing that I was worried about was the whole reading out loud, and people making fun of me and things like that. But no one ever made fun of me about it, and I didn't really realize that until a couple of years ago, when I was older, and I looked back, and I was like, you know, I had a lot of friends, and it wasn't a problem to anyone else. It was a problem for me. Mm-hmm. And because my dad does too. So I grew up with someone else who was going through the same problems, which was great as a kid, because I think a lot of kids, who stutter, I think a lot of what they're scared of is that they think they're the only ones, and they want to fit in, and they and it's hard for them, but I had my dad who did too, so I didn't feel so isolated in regarding my speech. So I never tried to get out of things. If we had to read out loud, it was like, well, this is going to suck, but okay. And I did it. I would sometimes try to pull the whole I have to go to the bathroom or I have to leave or and sometimes I'd pull those, but some kids, I very well could have told my teachers every year, hey, I don't want to talk out loud in class. Is that okay? And I could have avoided those things, but I didn't do that because my dad it didn't do that. So I just kind of pushed through it. I pushed through those hard times. I pushed through having to read. I pushed through having to talk in front of my class. And I think looking back, it helped me to now because if I have to do something like that, it's just kind of a okay and do it and hope it goes well.
Did you and your dad spend a lot of time talking about stuttering?
We didn't at all. No,
Oh.
I think we talked about it a couple times, just but it wasn't. We didn't talk about how we felt, or like we just kind of talked about the fact that we do, or we talk about a problem here and there that we had, like if we were trying to order food and they brought us the wrong thing, like we'd laugh, like oh, that's too bad, But we never really talked about it because it was just always what we did. That's we stuttered, and it wasn't this weird thing that we didn't understand. It was just us. So,
What type of work does your father do?
I have no idea. He works with 911 operations. So he worked with Motorola for a long time, but not in the phone part. In like the like he does this secure pretty things and the computers and cop cars. He works with that type of thing. But I don't really know what he does involving that, but it's something with those.
Is he open about his stuttering with his colleagues and such?
He definitely is. Yeah. My dad was great to have around because he just does it. I mean, he just goes and he does and stop and he doesn't, if he wants to tell a joke, he's going to tell a joke. And his call leagues. I mean, he works a lot, and sometimes when he comes home, he has to make calls again for work. He's very important with what he does, I think. So he has to make a lot of calls, and he just there's like no fear, and that was a great thing to grow up to, because I still have fears, and I still am uncomfortable with my speech when I'm talking to someone and I'm trying to be important, and he just goes. So
It sounds like he's been and is a great role model.
he has been, yeah.
Now, you wrote a piece that I came across, which is how we kind of wound up connecting and how I found you to ask you to be a guest on the show. But you wrote a piece called "I Stutter and Some People Wear Glasses." Where did that come from, why did you write it?
It kind of came out of nowhere, in some way. Over the past few months, I've been starting to enter adulthood, I guess. And we've had to learn about interviews and trying to brand ourselves and being on confident in ourselves. And so what's been going through my mind is how is my speech? Okay, so my speech isn't a problem in school, but is it going to be when I try to go out and meet new people and try to get jobs and try to present myself in the best light? And my class was doing these mock interviews, and for weeks, all I was worried about was just saying my name and the job I was applying for, and a lot was going through my mind. So what I did before the interviews took place, I talked to a teacher of mine, and I asked her, you know, I'm uncomfortable with saying my name, and you kind of know that. What do you, if you were someone who didn't know me, what would you want to hear from me? Would you want me to talk about my speech the first thing and say, hey, by the way, I stutter, so if I get stuck on a word here or there, that's why. Or should I, or would you want to see me try to cover it up? Not in that way, but try to not say words that I would get stuck on. And I talked to her about it because she doesn't she knows about my speech, but she's very prominent in the field I'm going into. So I wanted to talk to her to just ask, what would you want to see from someone with a problem with their speech? And she said, just go for it, you know, just do it. And when the interview was done, she said, you know, you did stutter, but what you said was great, and that's all that's important. And she's the one that actually said, well, I was talking to her about it, and I said, well, you know, yeah, it's something that I just have to deal with, you know. So, and she said, yeah, well, some people wear glasses, so we're, you know, we all have something to that we are uncomfortable with. And I said, you're right. And so I wrote it, and I don't blog. I'm not a writer. But it was just, it was kind of time. So much had gone through my head. And I was kind of realizing and thinking about how my struggles have changed as I'm growing up. As a kid, you know, your struggles, I think, are so inward, and you're just so concerned about it. But as I'm growing, I'm realizing that the speech is kind of becoming a it might affect a future job. It might affect me from moving forward in life, and that's been hard to deal with and think about. And it's been hard to kind of to think how am I going to get past this, and how, you know, it's not like I'm going into a new school. It's I'm going into my life, and how am I going to get past this and work through it, and how am I not going to let it affect me? So I wrote this piece just because I had a lot of thoughts, I guess, and I wanted my friends and peers to just know, and it was about time to, you know, because I didn't really talk about it with my dad or with my friends. It just kind of was. It was part of me, so I didn't really talk about it, and it was time to talk about it, and it still is. And I'm trying to reach out to people like you and things like that.
Where did you get it published, or where was it posted?
On Tumblr, which if you go on my profile, I don't use it. I'm not a Tumblr type. I don't blog. I don't I don't express myself all that much. So it was really just a I thought about it when I woke up. I was like, hey, I think I want to write about this. And it was online by that night. So
Wow, and what was the reaction from your friends and family when they read it?
a lot of good things. I mean, a lot of them, all of them know that about my speech. All of them know about it. So they were all just very like, we're so glad that you shared this. This was really great to hear because I hadn't really talked about it before, so they were glad to hear about it, and I was glad to tell them how I felt about it too. So it was a lot of good things.
Well, I told you how I came across it. It was picked up by the Stuttering Foundation of America, and they posted it on their Facebook page, and that's where I read it, and I was like, oh, wow, like this sounds like somebody who's turning a corner and who's becoming more open about her speech, and it resonated with me because I was covert for a number of years. I thought that I needed to hide my stuttering because I thought, growing up having received negative messages from my father, about it, I thought it was bad and it was something to be ashamed of, and so I tried to hide it. Well, I tried to hide it, and I can't say that I was successful. But that's how I chose to live for 30 plus years, and it was awful. It was an awful experience to try to hide such a big part of myself. So I came out of the closet about 7 years ago, and it's just been so liberating and so freeing to talk about stuttering and to stutter openly and realize that I can still effectively communicate. In fact, I think I communicate better than a whole lot of people that don't stutter. And so when I read your piece, it kind of resonated with me, and I was really happy to see it, and I'm glad that I reached out and that you responded.
Yeah, no, of course, and you're right. I am trying to turn a big corner in my life, and that's exactly what I wanted to do with the piece. Is I'm still trying to be o open and stutter without fear, and it's hard to do since I've gone my whole life. I'm 20 now, but and you know too. We've gone our whole lives with trying to hide it. And talking is just something that you do. It's trying to break an old habit, and it's not. It's hard. So it's going to take a while. But it's so nice to hear that I'm not alone. And I think that's been a big thing too. I've always had my dad, but to read these posts has been great to know. There's a lot of us that are trying to go through the same things. So.
Have you ever met anybody else besides your dad that stutters?
I have, yeah. I actually, one of my great friends does. I met him in the 9th grade, and we sat next to each other in a science class, I think. And he was talking, and I was like, I turned to him, and I was like, do you have a stutter? And he was like, yeah, I do. And I was like, I do too. And he was like, you do? And I was like, yeah. So we hit it off because of that, and we're still great, 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 great friends. It's been about 7 years now, but so and he was great to have back because in school you're awkward and uncomfortable with most things about yourself, so it was nice to have someone else there to talk to about it.
You do know that there is a whole big stuttering community, right?
Yeah, I do. I do.
Yeah. Have you thought about getting involved with like the National Stuttering Association and seeing if there's a local chapter in your area to attend like support group meetings?
I have, yeah, I've looked into it. Right now with school, it's hard for me to get there. I think the chapter where they meet is about 2 hours away from me. So it would be hard for me to head there, but I've definitely looked into it and read about what they do, and it's something I do want to go to at some point, I think, when I'm probably out of school and at a good time to go.
Yeah, because I think you would benefit from meeting other people who stutter, especially other women, because I definitely think that women tend to feel isolated because we're in the minority of people who stutter, and that's why I started this whole podcast thing to let other women hear other women, so that we can reduce that isolation and know that we're not alone. And I think that that's just so important. As we're treading our journey, it's really important to know that we're not alone.
I agree. Yeah.
Yeah, and your sharing and your being so open on this podcast is definitely going to inspire other people listening to this, that I'm very confident of.
Well, I'm glad. I'm glad, and I heard these too. I mean, it is very, very inspiring to hear them. And these women that you talk to are everywhere, and it's been very cool to see. And I'm still very new to it all. So I can't wait to keep seeing new things and hearing new things.
Yeah.
Yeah.
One more question, and then we'll start to wind down. Have you ever had any therapy?
Yeah, I've tried it twice. I went the first time, I think when I was in third grade. My parents brought me down, and I think I was there for a few months. And then I tried again, actually, and I came up to college about 2 years ago. And I was with them for a few months. Therapy, it's great, and they do such a good job at trying to help and be there for you. The problem, I just wasn't self-motivated enough to practice what they're the techniques that you learn outside of therapy. I went once a week, so you go for 1 day, and it's great, and you learn a lot, and you work on a lot of speech things, and then you have 6 days to do it yourself. And I don't know what it is. I can't get myself to do it, because I'm so, I've had tw 20 years of speaking the way I do. It's kind of like trying to change the way you walk or breathe, but I think that's okay though, that I don't go. I've tried it twice, and I think what I need to do and what I have been is just be open about it and just kind of go with the flow, as
Yeah.
choppy as maybe.
Yeah. Or it could just mean maybe you think you don't need to be fixed.
Yeah, exactly.
It's funny. I tried speech therapy twice in my life too. Once when I was in third grade, and I remember going for about 6 months, and it really didn't. I don't remember anything significant about the therapy experience, except that the therapist had the same name as me. And I thought that was so cool. And that was really the only thing I can remember from that time. And then because I was covert for so long, and I was trying to pretend that I didn't stutter for most of my adult life. I didn't try therapy again until my early 40s, soon after having made the decision that I didn't want to hide anymore and I didn't want to live like that anymore. So I tried 2 years of fluency shaping therapy at a local college in my area, and it was similar to what you describe, going once a week for 45 minutes, and they were teaching me techniques. And I was really resistant because I felt that the techniques were just basically teaching me to be covert again. And that's why I really struggled with it, because I had finally broken free and finally reached the point where I could stutter openly and naturally, and what I was being exposed to were ways to cover that up again. And I didn't want to do that at that point in my life. I just wanted to be me. And I think there's a lot to be said for that.
And there is, and that's a good point. I guess I didn't think of it that way, but you're completely right.
Well, I want to thank you so much for sharing parts of your story and being a guest with us today. I really admire your honesty and your willingness to embrace where you're at this point in your life. So thank you very much.
Oh, of course, it's been great.
Yeah, this has been a great conversation, and I feel like we could probably talk much longer.
I think we could.
Yeah. So thanks again, and this has been Women Who Stutter, Our Stories.
Namah.